Amen. So moving on with the meeting, it's great to see so many faces in the house. You're all very, very welcome. You know, it's just been such a tremendous weekend, you know, receiving the fire of God, being fed. And you know what? There's more to come. You know, this might be the last session in the conference, but it's not the last in God. Amen. And you know what? This guy that's going to come next, we've never heard of him. Never, ever heard of him before. I know he's, you know, he's a local wee lad that comes from Dolphin's Barn. He's a little jumped up little git at times, but that's what we love about him, you know. He's passionate about God's word. And you know what? Please give it up for Noel Kenny. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Amen. You know, you please be seated. I'm just glad Louise expressed her feelings for me. What's a jumped up little gap? It must be a north side thing, because it's not. You don't hear them things on the south side. You're very welcome. Well done, Darren and the band. God is good, yeah? Do you know what? I want to welcome... This is something that's been in my heart for a couple of years. And God just works things around that it's in his time. And I believe that this meeting with the people that I want to introduce you to... Oh, you must have been using it earlier, were you? Yeah, it's been in my heart a couple of years, and so much so, I was trying to, in lots of occasions, put on something to have the fathers and mothers of the city to come to our church and to release and to pray what they carry in God. That we would experience what they carry on God, in God, in this house and beyond. And I was walking around Gary a lot, actually, because I really wanted Gary to be here. And we made a couple of dates when Gary was going to be in the city. And it just didn't work out. And when I go, like, look at the 1st of February, I'm just like, I just have to do this. And it just so happened that Gary was scheduled to be in without me even knowing. And that's a real privilege to have my father in the house. So that is a great privilege. And also, it's a great privilege that so many of people, you know, Saturday night is precious to preachers and pastors, and I really know that, and I really appreciate you being here, because I know, you know, you're probably at home fasting and praying now, or watching blind dates or something, I don't know. But like it is, it's a time when most preachers and teachers just want to relax, wait, you know, get into the message again and again, so I do really appreciate you being here. There's Mary Dwyer that's here. Mary, gives a wave. There's Dave from Southside Church. There's John from Carlow. Well, Dublin, then Carlow. Sean and Susan from St. Mark's. Pastor Gary from the world. And Wilma, hey Wilma, is here as well. Jimmy from Calvary. There's Stephen Mons and Marion Mons from Open Door. There's John, Pastor John there from every nation, all nations. Yeah, he's the pastor of all nations. Like, that's a bit egotistical, isn't it? And there's Chris Rowe here. And Chris, I've just expressed to you privately, but it's really a privilege that you're here. And, you know, all people are here and they're welcome. But I just want to say I really honor you, Chris, and thanks for coming. Chris is going home to preach after this, so in his church. So what I'd like to do for a few minutes, I'm going to preach. I have a message that God has given me about the fathers and what fathers and mothers release into the body and into the kingdom of God. But before that, I'm sure you'd want to know a little bit about some of these guys, yeah? So I was thinking, if I could have like the two of the olders up. Oh, Chris, you're winning first off. And Gary and Chris would be the oldest amongst us, yeah? Like, senior, poor Gary. And don't fight about it, guys. There you go. Oh. I thought you were going to start wrestling. And the two youngers, I suppose that's Sean and John. And come on up, guys, the four of you. Go for a minute. Come on, don't be shy. Chris, come on, brother. Come on, Gary. John. And you can take this in turn. We go with Sean over here. Like, maybe just a question of, like, what you feel you carry in God, you know, that, and maybe one of the greatest things you've ever seen God do. Like, very quickly, you know, like, what you carry in God, and because I want some of us to get a flavor of what's going to be released on us, yeah? Here
you go. Amen. Gosh, two massive questions. So, what I believe God has called me to be and to do is to be a teacher of the Word of God and correctly handle the Word of Truth and to express the Word of Truth as a vessel in the best way that I can, totally depending on Him, bringing the Word in fear and trembling every time I get up. But I tell you, every time I get up, when I'm sitting down there and I'm in fear and trembling, the minute I step behind the pulpit, it's like I'm a different person. And I have to tell you that, you know, the Holy Spirit has never, ever failed me yet. I've never had to preach the same sermon twice. The Lord told me, when I started out in ministry, I was told that what I needed to do was get 5 sermons and then laminate them and go around and teach those 5 sermons and tweak them every now and again. And I said, Lord, I believe that you give us our bread daily. I believe that you give us fresh manna and that yesterday's manna goes rotten and you keep us pursuing you for fresh manna. And honest to God, I've never had to preach the same sermon twice. I might have gone to the same scriptures, but He's given me new light through old windows, and it's been fantastic. The greatest thing that's ever happened in my family is when my mother came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and her whole family thought she was mad, and our family thought she was a bit mad as well, and how she stuck in there, and how that we've seen from the impact of one person. I just want to encourage someone that's the only person in their family that's saved. You are a great miracle in your family. Because from that then, there was myself, then my sister, then my brother, then my youngest brother, and then my dad. We're all in the house of God. And you know, it's just powerful to see what God can do through one person in a family. Because getting saved and seeing your family saved, to me, is the greatest miracle.
Praise the Lord. Good job, Sean. I heard one of those sermons. I'm glad you didn't preach it again. Anyway, I just want to honor Chris. Lord brought Wilma and I in Ireland about 33 years ago, and some of the key couples that Chris had discipled, I was with some of them last night, Peter and Pauline Bradshaw, even our own Mary, our own adopted daughter, Chris and Lillian poured into their lives, and then you freely release them into our ministry, and they become a foundation for now what has multiplied into thousands of people in many churches right across the land. And the word I really felt just praying in tonight was a word about humility. And what God wants to release among us is that Jonathan spirit. See, Jonathan saw. Jonathan was the crown prince. He was the heir apparent. But he saw the anointing rested on David, and he was willing to back up, push David forward, and today we still honor Jonathan. Or John the Baptist spirit, he must increase, that I must decrease. So you see, what Chris had done didn't belong to Chris, so he handed it on. And what God has given me, I just have to keep handing it on, because like Pastor said, stale bread just gets rotten the next day. So you just keep giving out fresh bread. And the more you give, and I'm thinking of my good brother here, Steve and Marion, who we spent Thursday evening with. And I remember when they sat in our home, and we were talking about what will become St. Mark's and the whole movement and so on. And as we're sitting there, Steve says something about, I sent something apostolic here. He said, we're going to leave what we've got, a small group they had in their home. We're going to come and help you run with the vision you've got. You say you've got to submit your vision before God can give you a vision. You understand? You've got to submit your own ambitions, then God will give you a vision. And now not only do they have a ministry right across Ireland, but they have a strong church that churches and people have come out of that. So you see, it's all about giving it away. It ain't yours to begin with, honey. So you just keep giving it away. greatest thing ever happened. I walked into a meeting on a Friday evening. I was there because my best friend had got saved, and he had a car, and I had a girl, but I didn't have a car. And he said, I'll give you my car for the weekend if you'll just come to church. And so I went to church. Halfway through the service, a man that was leading the meeting, a young man, stands up, or he's leading the meeting, and he stops the service, and he said, God has just spoken to a young man in this place, and begins to prophesy to me. People say, I don't believe in prophecy. That's the reason it never happens to you. But it begins to prophesy, and I didn't even believe. I didn't understand it. I couldn't. But anyway, it was directly to me. I gave my life to the Lord that night. The young lady, as we had, ran out the back door and said, you got him, but you won't get me. And I didn't get her either. I got Wilma instead, thank the Lord. And the next night I was back in this church. The man calls me forward. He says, young man got saved last night. He hands me a microphone. I never had a microphone in my hand. I began to share. Six of my friends got saved. The next night I got baptized in the Spirit. And in the next 3 months I saw all my family come to the Lord. And they're living for the Lord today. Some of them are already in heaven. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
Thanks, Gary. That was good. Heritage is something that you don't keep for yourself. Heritage is something that you only hold on trust and you pass on. So I say amen to what Gary said there. And I had the privilege of maybe a greater heritage than some, and that gives me a greater responsibility, right? I was born on the mission field and in China. Parents were missionaries, laid down their lives for God. I remember for my 70th birthday, may I just tell you this? I don't really believe in pilgrims making pilgrimages, but for my 70th, I said, maybe just this once, right? And I went to a small town in the middle of England, down there in between Ramsgate, between Tunbridge Wells and Tunbridge, small town called Pembury, and there was a missionary retirement home in Pembury. And when they passed on, I went to visit them, and every one of them had been missionaries in China. When they passed on, they opted to all have their final remains buried in the same cemetery. And you might not think that was significant, but I went along to visit this cemetery, and there were 50 missionaries, 50 names, all of whom had been missionaries in China. And every one of them had prayed for me. Every one of them. I tell you, slightly humorously, I didn't appreciate it at the time. Right? I was 16, and these missionaries had a habit of sending around what they called a prayer letter. Do you know what a prayer letter is? You give all the local news, all the bad news. And will you please pray for Christopher? He's about to be expelled from school. We may have to retire from the mission field because he's giving so much trouble. And that was how they prayed for me. Needless to say, I hated them for it. And learning about all my personal news, personal affairs. But they prayed, and I'm here. In the far north of China, my parents had these two lady missionaries working who never got a chance to get married. And they turned around one day to my parents and said, can we adopt your son? And that sounded unusual, but I think what they really meant was something like this, you know, being godparents, which most of us would be familiar with. Can we adopt your son and your sister? And your daughter. And they did. They did. Every Christmas, every birthday. And again, for my 70th, I got this letter, a little postal order in it. Dear Christopher, I am 90 years of age. Right. And I just want to let you know, I can't write so well, but I just want to let you know I'm still praying for you. What a heritage. What a heritage. So when we came to Ireland, 1958, I just said, Lord, I want that heritage to be passed on. I want that heritage to be passed. I hold it in trust. I hold it in trust. And that's been my privilege. And that's my thing that honors, I believe, that God has allowed me to do. Not of all of us had that great privilege of praying parents and praying grandparents. But I did, and I want to pass it on. And when we pray with some of you later on, that's what we'll be praying. That you can reap where others have sown. Do you remember Jesus speaking those words? He's saying, I'm sending you out to reap that on which you bestowed no labor. Others have labored, and you have entered in to their labors. And I look back in Ireland on 50 years, and I was 21 when I came here. 56 years. And I just said, Lord, just because it happens to be my birthday today. So this is a great present. This is a great present, and I appreciate it. So that makes me, my sister sent me a card, and she said 7 is a good number, and you've got 2 of them. So, and just one little last word, I'm only getting started.
Do you ever get a sinking feeling? You know, I just rushed out of the house this evening. I said to Joanna, I really feel we need to get to that meeting. You know, I've got a wife and 5 kids. And if I thought I'd be here, I would have put on a suit, or at least I'd polish my shoes. But, you know, I'm really honored to be here. And, you know, I have a great love for Pastor Noel. Anytime I see that man, I'm just drawn to him. He's a man of God. And he is such a humble, open spirit, you know, and I'm very, very blessed to be here. I'm really honored to be here in the midst of all of these men of God. And, you know, I got saved in the early 90s. I'm not going to give you my life story, but, you know, growing up in an alcoholic home, I guess it's a pretty common thing in Ireland. And, but, you know, probably my mom got saved and... you know, like so many of us, it was very strange, odd thing to leave the Catholic Church and to start going to church. But we saw the change, and I got saved in the early 90s. And but in a short time of getting saved, I came up to Dublin. And you know, before I was saved, I never wanted to go beyond Killarney, beautiful mountains and scenery. And I was, you know, Kerry man, and still am. But as I was reminded when I came to Dublin. You know, but you know, when I came to Dublin, God put a love in my heart for the city of Dublin and for the people of Dublin. And you know, once I got used to the slagging, and I understood there was no badness in it, I tell you, God put a love in my heart for this city. And I was going to college in Bolton Street, and I was only just saved. And I remember one evening I was walking home from college, and I used to often give out tracts as I was walking along. And I gave out a tract to a guy and told him Jesus loved him. There was a couple of girls with him. And he stopped me. And I'd kept walking because I was a little nervous. He was from Dublin. He had shaved hair. And but he said, hey, you, come here. You know the way Dublin people talk, it's just, you think, when you're from the country, you think they're being aggressive, it's just the way they talk. It's just, I'm up here 20 years now, I'm used to it, but he says, what's this? I said, it's you know, Jesus loves you. He says, you know, God has a plan for your life. And he said, I've just been released from, I'm not going to try and do his accent, I'm going to keep going. But he said, I've just been released from Monkjoy. He says, will you come around to my house tomorrow? I said, sure, yeah, I'll talk to you about Jesus. He said, he gave me the address and my blood ran cold because anytime I passed these flats, you know, I wasn't used to flats. I came from Kerry. I wasn't familiar with this kind of stuff. And I used to cycle faster, just to be honest. And hope my wheels were still on when I came past them. But I remember I prayed that night. And I was afraid. I felt fear come on me, you know. And I prayed that night. And I just really felt the Lord saying, you know, I'll be with you. And I just really came down, you know, how valuable is a human soul? And, you know, I came to the place and it was a squat. And I still remember it. And it's nearly 20 years ago. But, you know, I think it was a defining moment for me. Because I remember I stood at the door and he was there with a couple of his mates. And it was a squat. And it was a winter's night and it was dark. And there was no light in there. And I remember he shouted at me. And his friends looked more scary than him. And I remember I was tempted to run. But you know, the question came back to me, how valuable is a human soul? And I said, Lord, if I run, these guys are going to think Christians are cowards. So I walked through into this dark room. There was no light. I says, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to die or not, but I'm going to try and tell these people about Jesus. And I walked in, and there was one single light in this little flat, and it was brought in from next door. And all around the walls, all I could see was about 25 kids. They were all about in 17, 18, 20s. They used to go in there to shoot up drugs. And I stood there, and I was shaking. My knees were shaking. This guy, Paulie was his name. He said, this guy's here. He wants to talk to you about God. And I just started to preach the gospel right there. And I'd never really spoken to a crowd that big or that scary. But I told them that Jesus loved them and had a plan and a purpose for their lives. And every one of those guys prayed the prayer of salvation that night. And from that moment on, I decided, Lord, I want to preach the gospel for the rest of my life. And a guy came up to me afterwards. His name was Anto. And and he said to me, he said, you know, when Paulie said this guy was coming around to talk to us about Jesus, we said, you know, if this guy's speaking rubbish, we're going to beat the whatever out of him, and we're going to throw him outside. I said, but he said, what you said made sense. And you know, the gospel in a world that's so messed up, the gospel makes sense. Amen. And. You know, it's the message this nation needs to hear. And you know, as Brother Chris was talking about his heritage, you know, we may not see it very evident in this nation at the moment. You know, there was a survey this week, and something out of 119 things, people put religion and spirituality as the least important thing in their lives. But you know, there's been prayers, and there's been men and women in this nation. I live near out in Blessington near Glendalough with my wife, and I think of the men and women that used to pray and call on God and loved God. And you know that Psalter, the Psalm book that was found from the 8th century or something, you know, that there was men and women in this nation who loved God and served him. And you know, I'm believing in this day and age, God is stirring up those seeds and he's raising up all of these men. I shouldn't even be standing up here with them, but thanks, Noel. You know, I'm just honored to be here. And I know God's going to do tremendous things in this church and in this city and in this nation. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You know, Mary, one thing I love more about Mary, every time I sit with her, she goes, tell me what God is doing. And I know that Mary's a praying woman. And the things that we are seeing is because the mother in the faith is praying. Dave is a very prophetic man. That's something that he carries in the prophetic. John is an evangelist. Susan, great pastor. Jimmy, a great pastor. And the Mons, Steve and Marion, like just incredible, carrying something of God in the area of preaching, the area of healing, and deliverance. And Marion, you were amazing today. I want to tell you were absolutely amazing in the seminar today. Well done. It was fantastic. Thanks for giving Stephen those notes that he spoke from. And John, well done, man. Just that evangelistic zeal. You know, I talked to Chris a while ago, and we were here having a meeting downstairs, And, you know, I was in a van with Chris going up a little country road down to where that piece of land is up in Blessington. And I had an American guy with me, and he kept asking Chris questions. And we were in a van on a little road, and Chris would turn around like and start talking. I'm like, Chris, the wheel. And then Mark would ask him another question. And just the wisdom and just the ability to teach God's word that comes out of Chris. And when we were downstairs, that was just in the summer, Chris. And I said, Chris, what would you feel you're carrying in God? And he said, I'm an evangelist. And this guy's been all over this country, like, doing this. And you have Gary, like, a pioneer. Someone that would come to another nation and to pioneer stuff, the prophetic anointing. Like, we're going to be blessed tonight. This is a rich pickings that we have tonight that is going to be released. The whole area of heritage that Chris had talked about. And listen, like, I wanted to do some... Like, Gary comes from a long line of missionaries and missionary work. And Chris from family of missionaries to China. Like, just that oil that flows down from fathers and mothers to sons and daughters. I really believe it's the order of God. I believe it's the order of the day. I believe that there's some things we can only get from fathers and mothers. We get a DNA, we get stability from fathers and mothers. We get, like, you know, there was 14 of us in our family, and some of us were a bit mad, but I tell you, we could time ourselves from when my dad went to work and when he came home. My mom was always there. And Sharon would say sometimes to me, Noel, you had a great upbringing. Now, they weren't geniuses at rearing children. They were just happy to survive with 14 kids. But they were there. And the stability of fathers and mothers being there is absolutely incredible. Fathers and mothers bring lineage. They bring, like, we're now, Penny is our grandchild. That, like, our family line from myself and Sharon, which we are backed up from another family line. But it continues through fathers and mothers and what they bring. Fathers and mothers pave a way. Fathers and mothers pay great sacrifices to see the kids go to college, to see the kids get on in life, that they pay a great cost for these things. It's fathers and mothers that leave inheritance. You know, orphans don't have an inheritance. Why? Because there's no mamas and dads. Have you ever wondered in the world, it's not just in Ireland, believe me. Do you ever wonder in the world why people say a fatherless generation? Because the enemy is after fathers. Because he knows that there's an order in God. Fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. There's an order that heaven has put into place, that things from heaven only come through that order. And yet God can break order if he wants, and he can do things if he wants, but there is an order in God. And you often wonder, like, why these things are attacked. That's looking at their being attacked, and the manifestation is in the physical. But there's a whole attack that is going on in the spiritual, so that we can't reap what fathers and mothers have sowed. And there's a day in upon us that where fathers are rising up and mothers are rising up, and this nation is being primed for these things. And I'd read some things in the scripture about 2.5 years ago, and it just captured my imagination all around fathers and mothers in the faith. And God has been doing a work over these years that men and women like myself as a man and as an Irish man that is finally getting up off their knees and saying, I am who I am by the grace of God. You know, it's no more of us Irish going, oh, it's not me or it's this or it's that. I love Apostle Paul, and I love when he talks about, I come with fear and trembling. I don't come with eloquent words. I don't come with all this. Paul knew who he was as a man, as a human. And I know who I am and what I am as a human. And it's not always good. But he also said, well, I'm going to come to you with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. He also knew who he was in God. And there's times when we have just settled for, oh, I'm just a human and I just have this and I have these mistakes and I make these failures and I keep doing this and I keep doing this. And we live in that. And if we live in that, we'll always be second-guessing ourselves and we'll always be playing ourselves down and putting ourselves down even in front of people. But when we start living out of who we are in Christ, it's only by the grace of God anyway So he gets all the praise and all the glory, and everything we are is by him and in him and through him and for him. And it's turned up like, well, I love when Paul goes, he even says, I'm going to go and I'm going to speak to those men, these false apostles. And he says, and I'm going to see what power they have. I'm like, go on, Paul. He says, I'm going to test and see what power. They talk about all of this. I'm going to go and visit and see what they're like. And this grabbed my attention about fathers, about mothers of the faith. I was reading about Elijah. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2. And verse 9 to 14. I'm looking at Abraham and how he passes the lineage and the blessing down and the heritage down to his son Isaac and his son Isaac to Jacob and so on and all of these things. And all of them included the laying on of hands. All of it. And all of it included words being spoken. I bless you, son. All of them, all of the blessing was all around receiving something from the fathers and from his father. And then there's natural fathers. And my dad, he was a great man. A man that worked 40 years in the same company. Incredible stability, a tremendous provider for his 14 kids. And there's things that a natural father can give us, or there's the things that a natural father cannot give us. But God puts spiritual fathers and mothers in their life that draw down from heaven spiritual blessings and spiritual inheritance and heritage that's to be passed on to other people. See, Elijah was not Elisha's dad in the natural, but he was in the faith. It was him that birthed him into and released him into ministry. And this, you know the story of Elijah. He's like, I want what you have, Father in the faith. I see what God is doing in your life, and I want that. And he asked for a double portion. He asked for what's on you, Dad. I want double that. Isn't that a real kid, isn't it? You know, like I want two of them, Dad. And Elijah says, you ask me a difficult thing, but if you see me when heaven comes to get me, you can have it. And it says in verse 9, it says, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken from you. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Let me inherit a double portion of what's on your life. Elisha replied, Elijah said that. You've asked me a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. And it goes on to talk about where he went somewhere and he went with him. And then the moment came. As they were walking along together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, my father. He wasn't his father in the natural, but he was his father in the supernatural. It was Elijah that released Elisha, trained Elisha, fathered Elisha into the ministry and tutored him and coached him in and throughout the ministry. My father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over to the other side. Amen. He calls out, Father, Father. He'd been fathered in the faith by Elijah. And he says, Father, I want my inheritance. I want that double portion. I want to see what you've seen and more. And I like when it says double portion, but I don't think it's just like one a double portion. I think, I believe it's speaking of an increase of the anointing. That it's not limited in like, oh, well, God says double, that's it, it's only double. No, God is always the God of the increase. He's always the God of the abundance. And when the son in the faith picked up the mantle, the heritage, the anointing of God, he starts saying, I'm going to see, am I walking in what my father walked in? Where is the God of Elijah? And he beats the ground with the cloak and the river opens. Walking in the way of the Father. They just walked across, by the way, supernaturally. And now he was going back supernaturally. He was saying, I am carrying. When God answered that prayer, he says, you're carrying what your Father left for you. Your inheritance. Your heritage. And it's written and recorded that Elijah seen double the miracles that Elijah had performed. He'd seen double. Elijah, the son in the faith, even seeing come to pass what his father has prophesied. This is what is in us. This is what is going to be released on us. That these men and women carry prophecies. These men and women carry anointing of God. And we're like the Elisha saying, hey, father and mother in the faith, will you drop that here on us? And we'll pick her up and we'll walk to the bee that was in your heart. And even things that Elijah prophesied, there were strongholds to be pulled down and dealt with in Israel. And Elijah was a great man for pulling down the strongholds. He was one of those fearless and fearful people. And it's like Sean said, when he stepped up to the plate, he was fearless. When he was in his natural self, at times he was very fearful. But when he stepped up to the plate and that anointing was activated and he stepped into it, he took on anything that came towards him. And he prophesied against it, Jezebel. And he spoke about Jezebel, who represented evil, who represented a stronghold, a bondage over the whole nation of Israel. And he spoke under the presence of God, and he says, that you're going to be cast down. Your high tower, you're going to come out of your tower, you're going to be cast down to the ground, and that you're going to be so beaten up, and dogs are going to come and eat you up, that people won't even recognize that that was Jezebel. Years later, after Elijah went, Elisha walks up to the city and Jezebel is up in the tower. And he says, just like the prophet Elijah says, your rule is over and your reign. And he says to some men, cast her out. And they dunked her out the window. And dogs came and ate her. And he didn't even recognize that that's who it was. There was just prophecies in the Father and in the fathers and mothers that they prayed and received of God and praying through and enforcing that word in. And you know who's going to pick up some of this? The sons and the daughters. The sons and the daughters are going to see what these men and women have prayed in private. What we don't even know about. Stuff they have prophesied in public and have said God has spoke to them. We're going to be the ones that bring that home, that brings that ball over the line in the kingdom of God. That's what gets passed on to us, which is incredible. What about Samuel? Samuel, another father, he birthed and released Saul into the ministry. Samuel was one of those cats that I love to read about. Not one word fell to the ground, not a word emptied. When he'd walk into a city, they were like, is everything all right, Samuel? Like, he was so powerful in God. And young Saul is looking for donkeys. And someone says, there's a seer that you need to go and see, and he'll tell you where your donkeys is. And God speaks to the seer, Samuel, and he says, there's a man coming who I'm going to make a king over my people. And he comes looking for donkeys, and the father in the faith, Samuel, sees a king in him. And the father starts calling out the king. He starts calling out the king. That's the ability God gives fathers, to see what's in the kids. And he sees what's in the kids, and the mother sees what's in the kids, and they tap into that. And they start telling the kids that you're great, and God is great in you, and God is going to do great things through you. And see that ability you have to make people feel welcome, that's a great gift. And see that ability to teach children who they are in God, that's an incredible gift. And fathers and mothers see that gift. And when Saul came to him, Samuel starts prophesying to him. He says, I'm going to meet you. And he says, and you're going to start doing things. And he says this, when Saul left Samuel, he was a different man. That God changed his whole heart. That's the ability that fathers have and mothers when they release things in the kingdom. The things that, you know, he had to overcome those things, Saul. And in the end, some of them found him out. hidden away in baggage, building monuments to himself. When he leaves Saul, Samuel says, you're going to go and meet these people. And then when you go to that tree, you're going to meet three other people. When you go to the tree, you're going to meet three other people. Just making sure I get my trees right. And he says, and then prophets are going to come down out of school. And when they come down, you're going to start prophesying. That the oil that was on the father was now on the son. And he started prophesying just like his dad. And even the prophet says, whose son is that? Whose son is that? Is that not Saul? Is he now amongst the prophets? Yes, he was. Why? Because a father, a prophet, had buried him into the ministry. And he was doing what his dad done in the faith. And Saul knew great victories. You know why? Because Samuel knew great victories. He routed the Philistines way before any of the kings. And Saul knew great victories. Then who did Saul bear into the kingdom? Who did he release into ministry? Samuel anointed David, but Saul released him into ministry. It was Saul that gave him the permission to go and fight a giant. It was Saul that says, you go ahead. And he went and he killed the giant. And it was Saul that released him into that ministry. Even so, when David cut the hem of his garment, remember when he was on the run and David went in? And when Saul is on the other side, what does David come out saying? Father, Father. David calls him Father. And you know what Saul calls David? Son. He says, son, you are going to be blessed. In the end, he says, you are going to triumph, son. Because even in all of his madness and all of his delusion, he could see in the son that there was something tremendous. Even so much that the father Saul killed his thousands, but the son killed his tens of thousands. The increase from the father. And what happened with the father got jealous of the son. And he tried to kill the son. But the fathers are supposed to be cheering the sons on. Go on, go for it. You're going to do more, see more, go more places than I've ever gone. Amen. And then Paul with Timothy. 1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God, our Savior and Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. 2 Timothy, he says, to my beloved son in the faith. I imagine Timothy probably preached a little like Paul. Imagine he walked a little like Paul. My true son in the faith. Poured out all that I am into you, son. Everything that I am, I'm giving to you. He doesn't call everyone his true son. Why? Because Paul even says to the Corinthians, you have many guardians. Another translation says you have many coaches, but you have not many fathers. Why was he saying it? Because he knew fathers release sons and daughters. It's not even enough. I'd even dare say this. It's not enough just to be a leader. It's not enough just to be a pastor. We have to ask God for a father's heart. Because if you're just a pastor, we have this delusion sometimes that my only role in life is to look after sheep. And the sheep can be 100 years of age and you're still looking after them. But a father's anointing is to raise children. And not only to raise children, but to release children. And to release the inheritance onto the children so they go further and bring your name and the anointing that's on you to their generations. Exactly what Chris said. And one of the things that frightened me when I read all this stuff, not frightened me like I was in fear, but startled me. You don't see the mantle being passed on to everybody like Elijah and Elisha. You don't see that happening every single place in the scriptures. But it's in there for a purpose. And then I was reading in 2 Kings. Elisha dies. There's no set place where Elisha lays hands and pass his mantle on. Or there's no cloak falling from heaven. But I'm reading this in 2 Kings. And two men are burying a man, and the Philistines come and they freak out and they throw the dead man's body into Elijah's tomb, and the body hits the bones of Elijah and he comes back alive. And I thought to myself, did he go to the grave with something in him that was supposed to be passed on? Was there something in Elisha that was supposed to be released, but he went to the grave with? And I'm being honest, I thought of men, not because I want them gone, but I thought of men like Gary and Chris. And I thought, what if they go and there's something they're supposed to pass on? There's something that's supposed to release in faith. And that's where all this came from. That's where this meeting came from. That's why I'm so thrilled that Chris agreed to be here tonight. Not that you're not going anywhere, brother. It's only begun. I'm with you on that one, right? But I just thought, what if there's some people in the grave that's supposed to give us something to carry on, to beat the ground, to furrow a new path for God? Well, it's not going to happen on Airwatch because we're here. Amen. And fathers and mothers of the faith is here. And we just represent, we get the first portion, but we represent a whole lot of the church in the city. Just because we're Christians. There's one church in the city. We just meet in different houses. But there's one church. So we get tonight and we give it away when we meet other people. I was in a pastor's meeting one Thursday morning. A gang of us was there. And a number of the pastors, including my own wife, but there was lots of scares about cancer. Don't know whether you remember this time. A number of the pastors says that my wife is, you know, there's cysts there, or there's, they don't know. It was all in that realm of don't know. And fear, you know, can grip our hearts when these things are in the don't know. And we were walking up and down praying, and you know, we start praying in tongues, and we start to take on cancer and the possibilities and fear and whatever. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he says, get Sean Bourne, who was the pastor of the Vineyard Church, to pray. Now, we were doing what we know to do. We were like getting in there, fervent, whatever. And I says, why Sean? And the Lord says to me, look who his father is. I hadn't got a clue like who his natural dad is. Who was his father? John Wimber, an apostle of miracles. Get him to pray. So I said, guys, can we get John to pray? Look who his dad is. And they were all looking at me as much as say, you're going off your head. Like, we don't know who his dad is. And we started talking about John Wimber. And Sean said this, let's get on our knees. And we all got on our knees. Do you remember this, Jimmy? And we weren't long on our knees when Sean started to pray. And without him asking us, we were all on our face. It was like Jesus walked in to the room. So much so that I remember trying to get under the floorboards because I didn't feel the ground was, I was humbled enough, or the ground was low enough before the King in his majesty and his presence that he showed up in. And I don't remember anything else after that, to be honest. All I know is all of our wives got good reports. I know that much. And I realized, see, God doesn't just show you something in scripture, but I've seen it. He showed me in action. This is what happens when you recognize. When you respect lineage, when you respect fathers and mothers. That's why the devil always tries to set us up against fathers and mothers. That's why he tries to get us to pull down leaders. Because what you respect, you will attract. If there's no attraction to what's on these men's life, you won't get it. You won't receive it. Honor your father and mother so that things may go well with you. And that may you have long life. Yeah, I know it's about mothers and fathers in the natural, but it also has spiritual connotations, just like the scriptures I read out. So let's stand. And this is how we're going to do it, I think. I had a bottle of oil there. Did any of the bands see it or put it away? Thank you. Paul again. And maybe we can, maybe if you guys can come forward, the fathers and mothers, and face the people. I'm just trying to get these, some of these chairs out of the way. I want everyone to get hands laid on them. Because what we're going to ask is that what these men and women carry, that we won't just receive that element, but we will receive an increase element of the anointing that's on them, yeah? That the inheritance that is on these guys gets released onto us guys, and we see greater things, experience greater things. Sean talked about his whole family being saved. We say amen to that. That that gets released, and that we see incredible household salvations. We see, like Chris talked about, did it gladden your heart when Chris said his father and mother were missionaries? It just, I don't know, every time he says it, I'm like, yes. People praying for you when you're in God's will. Going to a field and a cemetery and seeing 50 missionaries that's been praying for you. That's all this stuff these guys carry. So, we thank you, Lord. And we welcome you, Lord. And we just, Father, I believe that this is a significant moment in our lives, Father. Even some of us as fathers, young fathers and older fathers and mothers that are younger and older. Well, I see it as a moment that it's, you know, for the Irish man to stand up and say, hey, I have something that I need to pass on to you. It's a red letter day in the Irish man's heart. Because we're recognizing who we are in God. We're not going to hide in the baggage. We're going to be up front with our fatherhood and what's on our lives. Amen. We have some oil. That was the bottle.
Yeah. There's so much that links together with just very quickly what I'm going to share. And, you know, you talk about heritage, and I gave my life to the Lord when I was a 12-year-old through a meeting that Stephen and Marion Mons organized in Shankill. And at that service, there was a precious brother, he was preaching, and just the Holy Spirit was moving, and I was just totally overwhelmed, and I just had to give my life to the Lord. I remember responding that night and committing my life to Christ as a 12-year-old. And true as ever, my mom was there. And I remember I couldn't leave the tent of meeting. And I remember that when I finally could get to my feet and get going, that the pulpit was there. And my mom said, come on, let's go over to the pulpit. And she stood me behind the pulpit and she started praying that God would use me. That God would use me. And that God would use me behind the pulpit. And then the man of God wrote a scripture into his book that I bought at the conference. Not knowing me from Adam, the scripture he wrote in was, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And just what Noli's doing here tonight is so significant. You're going to come up here tonight and honestly, you will never be the same again. Not because of us, but because of our Father in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, corporately, I'm going to ask Chris to pray for us. Corporately, to release, you know, what's on us. Corporately, on you guys. And then I want us just to come forward. Like, first up, best dressed, remember. And so I'm not going to plead with you to do this. You know where my heart is at. So, first up comes gets best dressed. Chris, would you pray on behalf of all of the fathers and mothers here?
Last verse of the book of Malachi. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, to the sons, and the hearts of the sons to the fathers, And I believe that has enormous significance, enormous significance. So much so that when the angel is talking to the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, I often ask people, how do you know where this text is quoted in the New Testament? And they don't know that it's actually an angel who's quoting it. And the angel turns to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, and he says, John the Baptist is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the sons, the children, or the hearts of the rebellious to the wisdom of the just. He changes the text a little bit. Angels are allowed to do that. And we just thank you, Lord, for the oneness that there is in this room tonight. Thank you for the incredible knitting together of our hearts, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. We just thank you, Lord, now, and we just pray. We pray that double portion. We pray that great anointing that is going to be placed on the hearts and lives of these people. We thank you, Lord, that this is something that is going to change the face of this city and the face of this country. We believe we're in for another round that's far greater and far better than the last round. And these are the people that you're going to use. And we just ask you, Lord, now, as a people moving in oneness, a people moving with the anointing, people moving as the church of the living God, with all the authority that entrusts us with, to bind and loose, to find it's bound already in heaven, to find it's loosed already in heaven. We loose our brothers. We loose our sisters. We loose this church. We loose the people of God. We loose them for what God wants to do in this city and in this land. And we bind everything that is seeking to hold them back, that seeks to rob and seeks to steal that blessing and that anointing. We bind it. We bind it in Jesus' name, because you've given us that authority. And that is something that you want us to use, all authority. He says, authority flows from his throne, as we so often sing, unto his own, his anthem raise. So thank you, Father. We're using that authority tonight in Jesus' name. And we're taking this stand that says nothing, absolutely nothing, is going to hinder the release of that anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. We'll just make sure everyone gets some of that, please. You know, come on. That's it. You know, the you caught me by surprise there. But here's what Abraham done. He laid hands on his son. He blessed him. And what I would do, and I'm going to get back in the queue as well, but what I would do is I'd make sure every one of these guys, not drawn out long prayer, unless if you have a prophecy or a word of knowledge, you can get, you know, the people. But like, guys, could I just release you to just walk up with your oil and say, I bless you, son. I bless you, daughter. In the name of Jesus. And move on, that laying on of hands. But you don't go down, that you wait for someone else. And if you look around this line and go, hey, Maria Mons didn't pray for me, you go and get that hand laid on you. You go and say, here, hey, come on. Amen? Amen. Like, I bless you. I bless you. Amen, oh God.